Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 763. This will hit the podcast list before 762 because Jeremy Mays had a job to do, and that was post the show, because yours truly may have been having travel difficulties that day. I woke up at 6 a.m. to find that my plane had been delayed, and that I was not going to get a return flight to Columbus until Sunday. Mr. Mays was in charge of posting the show. I had bigger fish to fry. Ironically enough, I ended up spending the weekend with him because my plane went through Charlotte. And instead of posting said podcast, we decided to drink. Which was a fine choice. I had many a good beverage in Charlotte. A couple very outstanding. None of those made a trip home with me, though. My makeshift office in Norfolk, Virginia, was Kova Brewing Company. And I brought home their Aloha State of Mind Passion Fruit Hibiscus Ghost. It is fantastic. As good as anything that I had this weekend. Nice bit of sweetness from the passion fruit. Nice bit of sour from the ghost end of things. And then you just kind of get a little floralness from the hibiscus that helps round things out. So, Belltime Beer coming at you early on this show. And yeah. Because Jeremy was in charge of putting that show up, I am going to post this show before we get to our full What's Going to Happen with Vince McMahon episode. Because I guess at the time we knew that Vince McMahon was showing up on SmackDown. What are your thoughts on Vincent Kennedy McMahon? Is this a farewell tour, or is this a I'm gonna shove it in your face tour, in your opinion, Mr. Calamita?
This is a they will take this company from my cold dead hands tour. Yeah, Vince isn't going anywhere. In his mind, at least, he's not going anywhere. And in all likelihood, he's not going anywhere.
Oh. Yeah.
But yeah, no. Vince was definitely, he was definitely on one, as the kids say, between SmackDown and Raw, and looking terrible to boot, sounding terrible. Like, maybe he certainly should just voluntarily hang it up.
Yeah, I said on the not yet published podcast that I wish things had been different. I wish Vince had lost control of creative, but he had kept the CEO and chairman tags. I might be a happier person then.
Yeah. I don't know. Either way, I guess he really feels that there's no one else who can take over at this point. We've had it. This is all the culmination of a year of all this, well, blatantly obvious their corporate upheaval and all the rumors and innuendo about infighting in the family. So much has just come home to roost in the last week. It really has. But I don't know if I necessarily want to go too deep into all that, because I don't want to cover ground that will eventually be covered on Stunt Granny Audio. But yeah, no. Vince is definitely he's not planning on going.
Oh no, yeah, I'm more of the mindset that it's an FU, because yeah, at least as far as Jeremy had mentioned, Vince paid with this with his own money and not corporate money, which, you know, might land you in a little extra hot water if you're using company money to make some payouts. And there was nothing illegal done. So I have a hard time believing that they are going to be able to oust him just because they do not like his personal choices.
Yeah, no, as long as nothing non-consensual comes out, and this is Vince we're talking about, this is the wrestling business, that's always a possibility. And as long as he wasn't using company money, he's probably going to escape by this. John Laurinaitis will become the scapegoat. And then things will go on the way that they have been, for better or for worse. Apparently right now, Bruce Prichard is both running creative and in charge of talent relations, all while at home recovering from some sort of surgery. Vince is trying to kill that guy. I don't know what he'll do. I wish they could have gotten they could find some way to take Kevin Dunn down in all of this. Oh, that would be great.
No, his name unfortunately did not come up in any such discussions. So I think we are out of luck in that department.
Nah, unfortunately, because let's be honest here. Moral and ethical issues aside, there are people in that inner circle who, in addition to being bad people, are also bad at their jobs, and they need to go anyway.
The creative end of things could use a real breath of fresh air. And, I mean, it's another one of those things that it's not happening until Vince is probably no longer with us.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's what it is. I mean, because in addition to all the stuff at the corporate level coming home to roost, creatively, things have been coming home to roost for really since WrestleMania. As this run to Money in the Bank now has Money in the Bank and the summer and what was supposed to be the summer trilogy of stadium shows, I've already went down on that.
That was something that
there was yet another injury this week.
I forgot to talk to you about whether you had secured tickets to the relocated Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
Oh, of course, yeah, of course I did. I'm a glutton for punishment. Of course I did.
Okie doke. Now that we got that one out of the way,
I guess I was either spending over $100 on that or going to like Absinthe or something. At least I know I like wrestling, so whatever. But yeah, no. This show has absolutely been downgraded. And downgraded by a lot. And downgraded for reasons that aren't necessarily WWE's fault. Injuries to Cody Rhodes, to Randy Orton, now to Rhea Ripley.
Oh, but, okay. I did not see that. Did that news just come out today?
No, it happened on... No, they did a whole match to replace her on Raw last night.
Oh, dear God. Okay, I must not have been paying attention.
Oh, my God.
I knew that they were doing spots in Money in the Bank. I guess I didn't realize that it was a replacement for Rhea Ripley. Oh, good gravy. that throws a real monkey wrench into things. How long is she out?
Maybe not. I mean, it's because of she got basically got kicked in the teeth or she landed right on her teeth. That's why she had the brace in her teeth last week.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, no, she's, you know, dental work. It's, you know, a minor situation relatively, but it's going to keep her out for more than 2 weeks.
Yeah, it takes you off the ballot for Money in the Bank.
Yes, and Carmella won a Fatal 5-Way to get the title shot against Bianca Belair. Carmella, who Bianca has beaten so many times, in probably a grand total of less than 5 minutes, but all their matches combined.
I, honestly, that was one last night where when Carmella came out, I'm like, I forgot that they haven't been using her.
No, she's been, yeah, she's been out for a while, but yeah, no. She gets the Money in the Bank championship match. They obviously feel the Money in the Bank ladder match itself needs all the star power it can get, so, and it might, there also might be storyline reasons why that, you know, that you can't pull Becky, Becky's not in there yet, but I do think she will be.
Oh.
You can't pull Asuka out of there, you can't pull Alexa or Liv out of there. So, going with Carmella, who, once again, as I've said, has been beaten like a drum by Bianca so many times.
Yeah, it is to say that it's a lackluster choice is an understatement.
Yeah, it is, and once again, there's a lot lackluster about this Money in the Bank lineup. You know, I don't totally understand the reasonings behind the Roman Reigns' schedule that allowed him to have a match on SmackDown, but not have a match on a premium live event. I guess I get that you want to get Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar announced so that tickets in Nashville can start moving faster, so they don't have to have another embarrassment.
So that they don't have to go to another state or another arena.
Well, I don't know. I mean, who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe the Predator. I mean, that's right.
Yeah, the Predators.
No. Well, they wouldn't be playing it. No, the Stanley Cup Finals would be already over.
Yeah, there would not be anything that time of the year. Hockey
but
would not be started.
Maybe there's already a concert at Bridgestone Arena. Who knows?
They
absolutely can't go. They can't go to Bridgestone. They can't move to Bridgestone. Actually, let me check that out. Well, I've got some time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many other venues. I would imagine that Nashville has a number of venues that you'd be able to go to. Because I don't feel like, you know, because I know that Money in the Bank didn't get moved to T-Mobile Arena there in Vegas. It's elsewhere that I can't really recall.
No, it's Money in the Bank's at the MGM Grand because UFC's at T-Mobile.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I guess I hadn't really realized. Man, that's going to be a busy night there in Las Vegas. It was going to be a busy night anyway. So, yeah, that was going to. We were debating going down to Nashville just because it's relatively close for both Jeremy and I. But, yeah, that one was not to be.
No, and. I know we're topping around, but man, between what happened with Money in the Bank and all the issues with WWE right now that could potentially affect SummerSlam, a lot of people, you know, really Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar again, and that kind of mindset, plus combined with the lackluster lineup heading into AEW New Japan's Forbidden Door pay-per-view on Sunday.
Oh.
The days of these big travel shows where people come from all over the country, they buy their tickets months in advance, and they're having no idea what the final lineup is going to be, I'm thinking that those days might be coming to an end. Except maybe WrestleMania, because, my God, could you imagine planning your entire vacation around one of these shows? Heck, I don't have to imagine it. I mean, I still love Vegas. I'll still have a good time.
Right.
But I also, if it wasn't for WWE being there in July, maybe I would have gone in September or October when it's not 100 degrees either.
yeah, Yeah, I guess that helps at least me personally in and of the fact that I usually do just try to choose locations that I would enjoy or that I want to go to help minimize the impact of stuff like this happening. Because I'm with you. Like, I would have still got the tickets. It's like, well, you can't give back the airline ticket, or more than likely you can't.
So no, just you get a credit that's good for like a year or a year and a half or so, but the money's out of your bank account.
Not going back in. So it's just like, yeah, you may as well roll with it and go for it. But yeah, I mean, it is really hard to plan. Like, there's nothing that's really exciting me about the Forbidden Door show.
No, not telling people in advance, I don't know when they would have known that Okada's not going to be on the damn show, or Naito for that matter. Those are some big names to leave off. And not tell people before they buy their tickets. I mean, because they got a sold out United Center. People ran away with the dream matches in their head, and
they're not getting any of them.
They're not getting any of them.
They can't even get Adam Cole versus Jay White, for Pete's sakes.
I imagine that or some derivative of that will likely still happen.
I'd imagine maybe a three-way match with those three gentlemen is the likeliest scenario.
A three-way match for New Japan's top title with three white guys. That's what people paid to see.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, I like Jay White, but not really an inspiring set of circumstances for him.
No, it really isn't. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think anyone really believes that Paige or Cole are going to walk away with the title in any way, shape, or form. Just like nobody believes Tanahashi's going to be the
AEW champion,
AEW interim champion. Because that interim title is going to start in the most anticlimactic way possible. Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing where we are right now. Think about coming out of WrestleMania, even where AEW was at the time. March, April after Revolution. They both promotions seemed like they had some big plans for the summer. There was reasons to be optimistic. And oh boy, have things just gone downhill ever since.
Injuries have definitely played a key part in both companies.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah,
Bryan Danielson is a big one that I kind of keep on forgetting about. And clearly, with the whole Brock Lesnar situation coming back, what's his name? Randy Orton being injured has certainly thrown things off. I still don't feel like I've seen a lot of information on it, but maybe you have about his back injury. It seemed like it was rumor at first, or it wasn't quite confirmed, but it definitely seems like more of a reality at this point, and one of the reasons why they brought Brock back so early. Because like you said, like that's a bit of an uninspiring choice, too. Like, it was just at WrestleMania. Like, it wasn't that long ago that matchup happened.
Yeah, no. They're absolutely in desperation with Cody out. Now, I don't think that they were going to run with Cody that quickly. It didn't seem like that they were going to. Now, I think there's a very good chance Cody was going to win Money in the Bank. But I think they were going to keep him... They were going to keep him on ice a little bit. between SummerSlam and then Clash at the Castle, where it's basically already been announced that it's going to be Drew McIntyre getting the match.
Right.
Even Randy Orton, though, God bless him and the year he's had, but it's still, for the main event of SummerSlam in a stadium, that one was still going to lack some spark.
Yeah.
It's just Randy Orton again. It was just, as good a year as he's had, it would feel like a retread. But of course, now we have the retread from earlier this year.
Yeah, and that's another one where they just they have no depth. The second one person goes out, like that tower crumbles in a hurry.
Oh, yeah. And that is their fault. From all the people they let go, and not being able to follow through on pushes for any just about anyone. Yeah, that creatively, that is their fault.
Yeah, because there are a bunch of people that, I know that I've made fun of Ricochet a good bit, but he was a guy that, at least going into WrestleMania, it's just like, I remember talking about, he's like the number two babyface on SmackDown, and now he's MIA at this point. I mean, did he lose to Gunther?
Yeah. He lost the Intercontinental Championship a couple weeks ago to Gunther. Yes, and he's pretty much dead in the water there. Yeah,
yeah. Like they just haven't really held on to too many pushes, honestly. And no.
It's the babyface situation that is that is absolutely abhorrent at this point.
There's some weirdness there. Riddle definitely is getting there for himself, babyface wise. Austin Theory is one of the few younger guys to get something of a sustained push as a heel.
Yeah, he has. Still not doing anything for me.
I guess I'm trying to think of other things like. Have they done anything really? Like, I feel like I remember watching the segment about Judgment Day taking out Edge. They haven't really done anything with Finn Balor and/or Damian Priest. Like, Damian Priest's high point was the Bad Bunny WrestleMania, and things just have not gone well since then.
No, they were done nothing with Priest and Ballard together. And I guess I know Rhea Ripley's injury situation changed some things, but her deal was kind of compartmentalized with Bianca. So then I don't know, but then Priest and Balor had nothing to do. I don't know when Edge is going to be back. They're no longer interacting with AJ Styles at all. AJ Styles is doing his own thing or multiple things, and we can talk about that a little bit. But there's nothing really for them right now, and it's a weird situation.
Yeah, you would think that they might have something, but no, they do not. There should be some type of a backup plan. Like you said, like, even though Rhea's out, like, I understand that you might get de-emphasized a little bit. You need to keep on moving with that kind of situation, though. I don't get just giving up on it. Or just doing video packages. Like, if you're going to do a video package, have them do something backstage. Like, have a real fresh video vignette or something like that. Especially if you do think that Rhea's going to be something of a short-term injury, just have her in the background all the time.
Yeah.
Problem solved. Creative is a real mess on both shows currently. Well, maybe not as much of a mess on AEW, but it definitely is in a bad spot for the WWE.
AEW's creative right now isn't anything to write home about either. I mean, it's very messy over there too. They don't seem like they have much of a long-term strategy, and this whole build before Dittendor has just been a mess. I mean, just all these people, if you've never watched New Japan before, you don't know who these people are. They're running in, and running in, you know, maybe Excalibur does his motor mouth explanation, but there's been no attempts to really, like, remember in WCW when Mike Tenay did all those, did like a 2 months long features on all the luchadors.
Oh.
And then you put it on Nitro, like, there's been nothing like that. There's been nothing to explain who the hell these people are.
Yeah, there has been very little to help fill in the blanks. I mean, even though I'm familiar with the names, I don't know if their characters have changed since then. Since the last time I saw them. New Japan seems a little more static in that department. I feel like they might flip-flop the whole babyface and heel rules. There isn't as much character change there. I suppose they're just depending upon people knowing who these people are without possibly following New Japan at this point. It was a chore to kind of watch New Japan before. Now, with as much wrestling content as we have, like, there isn't much of a reason to bounce back to it.
No, and they've done nothing really new. I mean, it's still Okada, Naito, Tanahashi, Jay White on top. There's been no real change. I think I know Evil visited the top, but then didn't stay. You know, all the weirdness with the Bushi I still don't get all of that's gone on there. Like, yeah, they were starting to be in rough shape before the pandemic with the elite guys bailing on them, especially with their popularity in the United States.
Yeah.
But since then, I think the pandemic hurt New Japan more than any other, may have hurt New Japan more than any other promotion. And they got back to wrestling in front of crowds before everyone else. It's kind of a weird thing.
You would have thought that that getting back in front of crowds would have helped you out. Like you said, it really did not. At all. I feel like I watched one of those shows. I don't remember which one. But, because they haven't... Yeah, that's been one of the reasons why I haven't gone back. There isn't change. So it's just like, okay, like, I guess I don't really want to see this stuff again.
Yeah, no. I'm not that interested in New Japan. Yeah, this is definitely a niche of a niche idea to do this show. Now, granted, they did sell out in Chicago in like a day, so there was interest in this from that niche of a niche that wanted to see this. But once again, whatever their dream matches they had cooked up in their head, that's not what's happening. Other than maybe Tanahashi and Moxley, because that is something that a match that, you know, certainly Moxley has wanted. And Tony Khan even came out and said, hey, I wanted that match happening in AEW, he actually purposely blocked it from happening in Japan in time in the last couple of years.
Oh, okay. It is a smart move. He is one of the few top guys that Moxley has not interacted with from New Japan.
It's in some ways it's a fine main event for Forbidden Door, but man, were people expecting more of this concept, and they're not getting it, and it has. And trying to haphazardly get there has hurt AEW TV, and they're just, again, they're dealing with their first rash of injuries, and situations, you know, outside of their control. There, you know, you've had Adam Cole has been injured. Bryan Danielson is likely going to miss Forbidden Door and Blood and Guts. Who else was also hurt? This, you know, you had the Jeff Hardy situation.
Oh, good old Jeff.
Yeah.
I mean, that at least throws off the tag team division, and at least a potential. You can throw him into a main event if you need someone in the singles ranks.
Yeah, you definitely could, but man, I still want to know the time. AEW is probably, and Tony Khan are probably lucky all this Vince stuff broke when it did, because it stopped people from asking questions about all the timeline of the Jeff Hardy's turn of events. You know, people known for months that, at least as it comes to turns, it comes to alcohol, Jeff has been off the wagon and hard. And, you know, plus there was the weird incident, I guess you would call it, at Double or Nothing, where Jeff was just obviously out of it. Now,
no.
Did he get knocked in the head? Was that just was him getting bonked in the head? A cover, you know, didn't actually happen. It's just a cover story. Where he was screwed up upon his entrance, or if he was screwed up, or if he did injure himself in that match, why 2 weeks later was he being put in a ladder? Was he being advertised for a ladder match?
That is a very good question. Yeah.
Questions no one's asking anymore because Vince stole all the headlines.
Funny how that is. Always wait for the next scandal. Yours will get covered up at some point. That's the lesson that we're teaching all the grandkids today.
Yes,
just wait for the next one. Oh, man. Yeah, because I was trying to think if there's another one outside of Danielson. But, I mean, at this point, it can't really be said enough. Like, I mean, they've been hurting because Kenny Omega's been out. Like, I know that that's obviously been a longer-term thing.
Yeah.
That gives you a dance partner for some of those top matchups that there just isn't one currently. So, and it doesn't seem like there's a timeline on that. Like, I guess I don't feel like there's been any even mention of him, really. Because...
No, it definitely does not feel... I mean, and if he were to make it back for Forbidden Door, and they were putting him against Jay White, do not make that a surprise. Announce that in advance. This show, I don't know if I see it doing that well on regular pay per view for $49.99.
I do not think I'm going to be spending the money on that.
No,
since that is normally the territory for you and I. Like, I have some plans on Sunday. B, I have no real want to see that one.
No. This was. Not, you know, through some circumstances beyond their control, and then matchmaking, not and creative along the way, not good in execution. So no. This will not be. Just days before I head to Las Vegas, I will not be spending $50 on on a wrestling pay-per-view that I have no real interest in.
I mean, as much as, work from home is a thing, there is a real need in wrestling to be face-to-face, at least sometimes. And that's hard to do when there's a giant Pacific Ocean in between your promotion and the other promotion. Like, they really need to be here for a tour or something to help make this thing more interesting in general. Flying in and out has just got to be tough on the wrestlers. And considering how flights are currently,
oh, yeah.
God bless anyone going transatlantic. It's bad enough going domestic. I don't even want to fly internationally currently. Buzz off.
No. I had my weekend travel that thankfully went off without a hitch. Traveling to and then from and then on the way back to a relatively small airport where that is apparently where most of the problems are happening. These small regional airports are the ones getting more of the shaft. But my travels to and from Detroit were very smooth. I have no complaints. With Las Vegas, there are two layovers involved in my round trip. Although long layovers, long ones, especially the one on the way back. It's like a 6-hour layover in Minneapolis.
Oh, that's hopefully rough.
That will help me not missing, help with the situation, not missing any connections.
Oh man, yeah, that's going to be a lot to deal with. You have fun with that, but yeah, I guess I do think that. Well, in general, there's not a whole lot of good promo guys in New Japan. And most of them are good in Japanese and not in English. And that also, it does hurt things a little bit. I do like people doing their promos in their native tongue, as I've mentioned many a time. I guess I just keep on thinking about what was it. Oh, when they're like, oh, I was ready to hear what Tanahashi had to say in response to Jon Moxley. And the guy could barely spit out, you suck, to Jericho. It's just like, guys, he wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, no, and that was so badly done. We did not need to see Jericho and the Jericho Appreciation Society a second time that night. And then the very clumsy explanation of their relationship with Minoru Suzuki's group and the match that they're actually, the six-man tag they're actually doing at Forbidden Door, that makes absolute, that just, that seems like a Mad Libs to put in a six-man tag. Although I imagine there's a very good chance that if Punk hadn't gotten injured and they were still doing Punk versus Tanahashi, Moxley probably would have been in that match instead of Wheeler Yuta.
And how did we forget about that? We're like, what other injury is there other than Bryan Danielson? CM Punk. I mean, I know that it was a couple of weeks ago that his injury was announced. But yeah.
How did I forget that? Yeah. that is the biggest adversity that Tony Khan and his booking has faced since the start of AEW. Less than a week after putting a world title on the guy, he's out with an injury. Now, it's happened to WWE before, and but it's never happened to AEW before. And I think I think losing Punk has definitely shook Tony Khan. And, because the shows since then have been fairly you know, messy. They have been disjointed in a way that, you know, they weren't.
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to have been, up until the pay-per-view, they seem to be moving along just fine. And, yeah, things have gone sideways since then. Because both, yeah, both Danielson and Punk were at the pay-per-view. And, yeah, things went wrong after that. It's been not good. So,
No, it has not.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's... I'd love to say that that's going to be an interesting watch. The good news for them is that they don't have a pay-per-view every month, and at least they might have some time to regroup for their next pay-per-view. So, there is that. I guess we could go back to the WWE. Any thoughts on our good buddy Omos getting a spot in the Money in the Bank ladder match?
That, I mean, I know Kane and Big Show and Mark Henry have all been in Money in the Bank ladder matches, but I can't picture Omos in a ladder match because he's still so green. Like, those guys were all veterans, so, and they were there to catch people when they fell off of ladders. Omos is so green and so stiff. It doesn't matter how big and strong he is. I don't know if you can count on him in that way.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting test for him to see. I was a little bit surprised by the matchup in general. Just because they were pushing Riddle, I would have thought that he at least would have been one of the participants. Honestly, he seemed to test pretty well against Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Everything about that success. I mean, they did play that he was coming into the match injured, and then have him get beat down by Seth afterward. I could see.
No.
Seth and Riddle getting into a feud, possibly even heading into SummerSlam. For them both, something to do. But you know what? I'm not going to totally count Riddle out of Money in the Bank. You know, WWE, they love their last chance multiple person matches or gauntlets or whatever. Although they've had multiple persons, and although they had a 5-way and a gauntlet match just on Raw last night. So, but. Once again, they love their multiple person matches. They love their gauntlet matches. So, I could definitely see Riddle still getting in at the end. Same for Becky Lynch, honestly.
I would almost be surprised if Becky Lynch doesn't make it in.
I feel like Becky is going to make it in, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if she won it and then cashed in that same night.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real possibility. She's done a good job of being a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde here with with the highs and the lows. So, because I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah. Although you usually come in after a match where the champion has been beat down. It's going to be a real stretch to have that happen to Bianca. But could you have it happen to... why am I blanking on who the other women's champion is currently?
Ronda and Natalya?
Yeah.
I don't think they'll go there. Because, I mean, I guess Becky, even if Bianca's not that tired, Becky could just... beat her down with the briefcase before cashing in.
Oh. Yeah. Give Bianca an out.
Yeah. But who knows? Maybe somebody else entirely will lose and Becky will continue down her her downward spiral. We shall see in that regard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm trying to think of who else. That is still one of the weirdest feuds in WWE right now. I kind of like the idea. We talked about him a little bit. Austin Theory, Bobby Lashley is a strange, strange feud for me.
It is a strange feud, especially since it you know, they're building Theory. They're possibly even building Theory for a SummerSlam match with John Cena. But Lashley came out of Hell in a Cell with a lot of momentum. People were popping big for Bobby. So we've created a match where neither guy should lose.
Yeah, it's really strange.
But I guess if push came to shove, if Lashley's not in the plans to go after Roman Reigns anytime soon, I guess he could take the loss there.
Yeah, there could be some type of tainted win-loss situation going on. But yeah, it's a curious one to put on the docket one way or the other. Like, you need to work around some stuff just because, yeah, like him or not, the WWE has at least been behind Austin Theory for a while at this point. And this has probably been his best singles feud?
I guess.
Oh. Yeah,
he needs a great showing at some point. He really does. But I don't know if the match with Lashley, even though Lashley's been on a good run. I'm not sure what. Not 100% sure what a full competitive match between these two looks like.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, I suppose, to see what ends up going down there. Other happenings from Raw. Oh, I guess I was not surprised. Angelo Dawkins getting the W for his team. Curious that Montez Ford was not the one getting the W. If you want to keep Street Profits versus the Usos part, I don't know, at least three around, you needed this win to happen.
Yeah, you definitely need this win. You know, once again, Street Profits and Usos will always give you a good match. So once again, something I'm looking forward to at Money in the Bank. Although I was there for the championship contenders match that they had in Green Bay, and it was a little slower of a match, at least in the first half or so of it, than I was expecting. But then again, if you're going to come back at the premium live event, you want to save some stuff, so that's understandable. And it does, in some ways, feel like it's time for the Bloodline to take a big loss.
Yeah, they've just been cruising along so well, and it'd be the only thing to make the tag team division somewhat interesting.
Yeah, I mean the Usos will lose the matches that don't count, but they'll always, but you know, their title reign's going on a year, it's themselves, so. You know, they win when it matters. So to give them that situation where they lose, and then Roman Reigns has to be very, you know, comes back out at SmackDown and is very disappointed with them. And you know, things start to crumble a little bit for the Bloodline.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they're going to crumble that much. But yeah, well, I guess just having Roman Reigns on TV would probably help in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. The timing of his change in contracts is a curious one, to say the least.
Yeah. This has not been a good situation. The decision to unify those titles was just an absolute mistake in every way.
Yes. Yes, it was. Oh man, the WWE puts themselves in some interesting spots. Like, I mean, that's one that I guess I don't even know why you don't change your negotiating policies, knowing what the. I mean, I know that they wouldn't necessarily know about the injuries. It just seems like you need to be reading the room, though, that you just gave him that title and this is a terrible time to give him time off.
Yeah, no. It was terrible timing. But, you know, I guess God bless him for Raymond Hill being able to get the deal for himself.
Yeah, it was a good one. Elias, what do you think about Elias making his big comeback to the Raw roster?
This whole thing has been pure fun. it's just been wonderful. I've enjoyed the hell out of this, and yes, it's pretty much the mostly for Kevin Owens. You know, it's well done. The split screen deal backstage was funny, and the fake beard was funny, and Kevin Owens being Kevin Owens was funny. It was just all worked well, and then the incredible part then where Kevin Owens is just spitballing and just saying, next week I'll take on Elias, I'll take on Ezekiel, I'll take on their unknown brother Elrod, and then the graphic Elrod is actually on the graphic. Now Elrod actually exists.
Oh man, yeah, Kevin Owens has been one of the consistent few high spots on WWE TV. Yeah, I'm not sure I'm really buying the whole Ezekiel thing. This really has been a great vehicle to show how great of a professional wrestler Kevin Owens is, though. Oh man, that stuff has been enjoyable as hell. Yeah, and I don't know. There really wasn't anything else on Raw there to speak of, since we covered Becky Lynch kind of losing the main event there already. Not much to be said about the Bobby Lashley match and or the AJ Styles and Ciampa. Ciampa probably getting exactly what I expected on the main roster. You get to lose to people. Have fun.
Yeah. No. I'm not that broken-hearted about it. I mean, this is the thing where with NXT Black and Gold. It's like, deep down we knew the Ciampas and Garganos of the world weren't going to make it on the main roster.
Oh, yep. Yep, there's a reason why Johnny Gargano is making his big comeback in an AIW event. I'm sure he could more than get in a job for AEW, but, you know, yeah, the WWE days were definitely over for them. They definitely made the right choice and just... finishing up their feuds and walking away from that situation. But hey, Ciampa's still got a job, so he's gonna keep doing some things, and that's where we find ourselves. Yeah, was there anything on SmackDown that I missed that's worth covering there?
Well, I didn't really get to watch a lot of SmackDown, but one thing in particular it kind of stuck out to me is weeks and week after weeks of Pat McAfee calling Happy Corbin a scumbag on commentary. They finally had something of a confrontation. And I imagine that confrontation may lead to a match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I guess we need a draw for SummerSlam. Pat McAfee, who didn't punt for the Titans, will be there. Hey, maybe we'll get Rob Gronkowski involved again now that he retired again from the NFL. Wonder if he has to honor the rest of his contract and that the WWE has suspended all of his days during his football
Oh man,
comeback.
oh, my God! It sounded like the perfect marriage, but then when he got there, it's just like you could tell he wasn't into it at all.
Yeah, it really wasn't, maybe not the best fit.
Right.
It's kind of like, it's still wild how wooden Ronda is on the promo stick. Good gravy.
And it needs to be noted that she was born with a speech impediment. But
Yeah.
then you don't have her memorize pages and pages of dialogue.
Yes, there are ways to work around this that do not involve her talking a lot that the WWE has failed to do. Yeah, I guess that's about it then for this very show then, huh?
No, I don't want to step on the toes of your deep dive of the of the of all the Vince allegations with Jeremy, whatever the hell that.
Yeah, I guess when I get the druthers together to not write a write-up for it and just post it because I, other than the Vince allegations, I'm not completely sure what we talked about because that did take up a large chunk of the show as should be expected.
What day did you record it?
Thursday, like
Oh, you did
normal.
record it on Thursday. Oh, so you recorded it before the news that Vince stepped down, was temporarily stepping down as CEO.
Yes, that news had not come out.
Oh, okay.
Yep, so that's why I figured there was some territory to cover between him popping up and him stepping away as CEO and chairman. Were new things that have happened since the recording of that podcast. So yeah, ever evolving story that I do think yeah, we both kind of talked about at the top. Yeah, just don't see a whole lot crazy happening with that situation. No reason to get my hopes up that that someone else is going to be involved in creative anytime soon. So yeah, bell time beer kicked off at the top of the show, but as I'm at least halfway through it here. Kova Brewing, Aloha State of Mind, Passion Fruit Hibiscus Ghost, 5% alcohol, great drinkable beer, perfect for when you are very, very close to a beach and at a brewery. Thumbs up. Also, they kindly gave me a cupcake that had bacon on it because for some reason, people that were working there did not want to eat the bacon cupcake. Gonna throw it out there right now. I like bacon donuts. I am for bacon cupcakes. So it was delicious. Thank you, Kova Brewing, also for the bacon cupcake. That's your A travel selection from Matt DeFrango 11. And your bell time beer all at the same time. Kova Brewing, it's in Norfolk, Virginia. Go and check it out sometime. Maybe I will talk about some of the Charlotte breweries with Jeremy and I, or with Jeremy when we get behind the mic, probably on Thursday again. So that is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.